This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
We got 64 degrees over at the Penn Valley Airport, Seelands Grove, and we're looking at a real feel of 69 degrees. On the news line with us now, Beth Stark, Lifestyle Initiative Manager at Wise Market. She's a registered dietitian. Good morning, Beth. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning.
I do appreciate it. And Catherine Long's also on the line, Healthy Living Coordinator, also a registered dietitian at Wise Markets and a mindfulness expert. Good morning, Catherine.
Morning.
Thank you. You're teaching me all I need to know about mindfulness, and I'm very much I'm appreciating that. I'm eating my cereal more mindfully, and it works. It really works out. So, well, welcome aboard. Thank you so much for coming in. There's a new Healthy Bites on the newsstand that's been out there for a little while. Healthy is up and running. That's the virtual telemarketing sessions that you've been doing. So we have a lot that we can catch up on. So, where do we want to start? You've been talking about hydration. Is that logical stepping off point here today?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, Memorial Day is kind of the official kickoff of summer, and the temperatures are starting to get a little warmer. It's starting to get a little humid outside. So it's really more important than ever to stay hydrated, because even mild dehydration can cause tiredness and headaches and dizziness. And really, so according to Harvard, more than half of children, adolescents, and adults in the United States are not getting enough water. And really, water is vital to your body functioning properly, including your heart, your brain, your muscles. It helps, you know, blood pump through your blood vessels, and it cushions and protects your organs and even aids in metabolism and, you know, obviously helping to regulate your body temperature and sweating and things like that. So it's really, really important that we stay hydrated. So just to start, you know, what are some symptoms of dehydration? So maybe if you're feeling some of these things and not sure why, it could be because you're dehydrated. Well, one would be you're thirsty. Even things like being tired, feeling decreased energy, having headaches, dizziness, even nausea, or just kind of not feeling good or not able to concentrate. So sometimes if you might be experiencing some of those things, try drinking some water. I know this has happened to me a couple times where I just wouldn't feel good in the afternoon, and I had a couple glasses of water, and it really, like, brought me right back to life. So sometimes that's really, is really all we need.
You were wilting.
Yes,
yeah, you're wilting.
That is literally kind of what you're feeling like. And there is a myth out there that you should be drinking 8 8-ounce glasses of water each day, but there's really no science to support that. And the amount of water that you need depends on your age and your gender and your activity level, even medications that you're on and the environment. So maybe if you work in a hot, humid warehouse or something like that, you might need more water than other people.
Well, let me ask you a quickie question. I'll let you continue here. But before I get overly tired from dehydration or headache or the dizziness, what symptom am I ignoring? I hardly ever drink anything, and I hardly ever feel thirsty. Is there some other sensation or symptom that would say, okay, this is your body saying that water's necessary?
I mean, I think another key factor that we could talk about would be how frequently you're using the restroom. So if you're not going to the bathroom enough, I mean, that might be another sign. If you're like, yeah, I can go, you know, all 8 hours and I barely ever have to use the restroom, that could be a sign for sure. And you can definitely monitor how much fluid intake you're getting by really what the color of your urine is, if we want to go there.
Okay, sure.
That might be another sign that you could be overlooking, even though you're not feeling some of the other symptoms.
All right, and I drink a lot of coffee. Does that dehydrate you?
Well, commonly it was thought and is thought that coffee is dehydrating, but the good news, I mean, I myself am a coffee drinker and I'm sipping some right now. Research shows that drinking about 2 cups of coffee each day does not affect your hydration status. And, of course, coffee can also have benefits that include improved memory, diabetes prevention, and some, you know, muscle performance for athletes. So as long as you're not really overdoing the caffeine, you would be fine to kind of consume however much you might be if it's like around 2 cups or so. But if you're drinking coffee all day long and not drinking any water, you know, and not eating other types of foods that actually provide fluid, which we'll get to in a moment, you could be setting yourself up for not getting enough throughout the day.
All right, and how much does my annual beer or a glass of wine?
It's like you're reading our mind right here, Mark. You just know exactly what we're going to talk about. So yeah, alcohol is a diuretic, which means that it could cause more frequent trips to the restroom, and that can lead to dehydration. And especially when you're drinking, you know, this time of year, again, if it's warm outside, you know, maybe you're enjoying some great, you know, sunshiny weather. You really just want to make sure you're drinking some water in between your alcoholic beverages, whatever that might be. Looking for a lower alcohol kind of drink, you know, versus something that's really like a higher alcohol concentration, and maybe even trying like a nice refreshing spritzer or something like that that would include wine with seltzer or club soda. So you get a little bit of like hydration from that, and then you also get a little bit of that that wine in there too. So some other ways kind of around that, but above all, you know, across the board, moderation would definitely be recommended with alcohol. But especially in the summer, you just want to be careful that you're not putting yourself into, you know, a situation.
Catherine, what question am I thinking of next?
Goodness, I don't know. I don't know. I can't read your mind.
Oh, about getting water from food. This was in your show notes.
Okay.
Come on.
You got it.
So we can get water from food. So in addition to, you know, drinking water or unsweetened iced tea or seltzer water, we do get a lot of water from the foods that we eat. And in particular, fruits and vegetables, you know, they just naturally have a lot of water in them. So if you think, you know, this time of year, watermelon's in season, you know, it is mostly water, or things like cantaloupe and citrus fruits and grapes and cucumbers, like all those things have a lot of water in them already. And so I just want to backtrack 1 second to talk about how much water we actually need. So we said, you know, the 8 8-ounce glasses of water is kind of a myth. So according to the National Institute of Health, adult women need about 9 cups of water a day, and adult men need about 13 cups of water a day. So if you think about, you know, the 8 8-ounce cups, it's a good start, but you might need a little bit more. And then when it comes to children, they need anywhere from 4 to 12 cups of water a day. So if you're like younger, you know, toddler, you know, maybe 4 cups, and then as you get to kind of the preteen age, you're looking closer to 12 cups of water a day. So it is a little bit more than that 8 8-ounce glasses.
All right. So, but you mean cups, like a measuring cup is how you're doing
this? Correct. Like a measure, yes, a measuring cup. I'm sorry. Not like, you know, a big glass. If you spoke at a glass, you know, that might be 2 cups in that glass. Yes, that's a really good point.
Doesn't that seem like a lot of water, 12 cups a day?
You know, it does, but, I mean, it just depends. You know, if you start with a glass of water in the morning, and, you know, morning, mid-morning, and lunchtime, and mid-afternoon, you'll get all that water in no time.
Okay, so what else do you know about hydration? You guys have studied this, you know, all the frequently asked questions and sort of the the remaining consequences and opportunities when it comes to water.
That's right. Well, I'm sure we have some listeners out there saying, well, I just don't like water, and what do I do in that case? So, I mean, we definitely have some good ideas. Something I like to do, and especially this time of year, is make, like, infused water or spa water. So it could just be a simple glass of water with a couple cucumber slices in it, or you could really get creative and drop some fresh herbs in there. You know, so you can do a couple things to just add a little bit of flavor. With this, you're then adding no added sugar, you're adding no artificial coloring or anything like that, so it's just something that's natural. You're getting maybe some, you know, vitamins from, if you're squeezing some, you know, like citrus into your water, that would add a little bit of vitamin C to what you're drinking, and it's just a good way to even extend the use of produce. Sometimes if you have produce that may be soon going bad, you could add them into a beverage and then help to give them a little bit more life. This would apply also to, like, seltzer water or, you know, some of those types of sparkling waters that they can add, you can add flavor to those as well. So we have a couple different combinations. One would be blueberries plus lime plus fresh mint. So you can muddle the blueberries kind of in the bottom of the glass and then add those additional additives. Fresh pineapple, fresh lemon, and pomegranate juice. Raspberries, again, that you would, you know, mash up a little bit with some lime and then fresh mint. Or cucumber, lemon, and mint, which that one to me is totally like a spa beverage, like, you know, that you would see in a beautiful, you know, relaxation room, you know, in a spa nearby or something like that. But and it just adds a little bit of flavor, and plus I think it's so pretty to look at. I know when I have like an infused water or a glass of water on my desk, I'm like, oh, look at that. I just want to enjoy it more because it's just visually appealing, and it kind of triggers you to drink a little bit more of that fluid. And I did mention, kind of sparkling water, seltzer waters. Those are a good alternative to someone, again, that just doesn't like plain water. Even unsweetened coconut water could be kind of something you could enjoy as well. So lots of different options to consider.
All right. In some of your notes, you talked about the idea of kidney stones is one of the negative outcomes of not drinking enough water sort of all the time.
Yeah. So one of the biggest contributing factors to developing kidney stones is chronic dehydration. So this wouldn't be just, you know, a day or two that you feel dehydrated. If you are chronically not getting enough water, calcium and minerals build up in your urine, and it makes it harder for your body to filter out. And that can actually form crystals that make up those kidney stones. So it's really important to get that water in. And another consequence that sometimes people don't think about is there was a study published in 2015, and even mild dehydration caused significant driving errors when you were driving for an extended period of time. And, you know, maybe it's because when you're dehydrated, you're a little bit more tired. And so they actually compared it to, you know, they compared driving while dehydrated to drinking an alcoholic beverage while driving, or driving while you're, you know, sleep deprived. So there is a lot of, you know, consequences more than just, you know, having a headache or feeling tired, you know, to not drinking enough water.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's pretty significant consequences there that could easily be stemmed with a drink of water from time to time. All right. Well, we're at the halfway point in our discussion. We'll be back at 7:40. But as far as I'm concerned, we're not quite done with hydration. We're going to do some myth busting when we come back, including ways to look young. How important a factor is water there? So we'll talk about that. Catherine, what else will be on our list when we come back at 7:40?
Yeah, we can talk about staying mindful during this pandemic. We also want to talk about how plant-based eating is becoming really more and more popular these days.
All right. And is that in the new podcast, plant-based eating?
That is. That okay. is the brand new podcast that came out yesterday. We talk a lot about plant-based eating.
Well, you got to get up pretty early to listen to a podcast I haven't heard yet from Wise Markets, so I'll be anxious to listen to that today. Thank you both so much. Stand by. I'm going to put you on hold, so you guys hold on. Elizabeth Stark, Beth Stark Lifestyle Initiative Manager and Registered Dietitian at Wise Market, and Catherine Long, Healthy Living Coordinator, Registered Dietitian at Wise Markets, talking about hydration in that first segment, but we'll come back. We'll talk about mindfulness. We'll check in and see how their virtual telehealth feature is working, so they can explain once again how that works. So we'll also talk about plant-based eating when we return at 7:40 this morning with the registered dietitians from Wise Markets on WKOK Sunrise.
News, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. We're on the line with Beth Stark, Lifestyle Initiative Manager and Registered Dietitian at Wise Markets. Catherine Long, a Healthy Living Coordinator, Registered Dietitian at Wise Markets. Welcome back, Registered Dietitians. Thanks for both checking in today.
Good morning.
I do appreciate that. Okay, so we're going to do some myth-busting on hydration before we get to mindfulness, plant-based foods, and a podcast preview for this week's podcast that is already available. Myth-busting, what are some myths that relate to hydration?
Yeah, so the first one would be that drinking water will keep my skin looking young. So the truth of that is that drinking water really is not going to prevent wrinkles or other signs of aging. So when it comes to skin aging, it's really related more to genetics, how much exposure you have to the sun, and environmental factors like pollution.
But what if you're wilting like you do sometimes? You said you wilt without enough water.
Right. Well, that has more to do with how you're feeling on that particular day. If you're feeling a little tired, maybe grab a glass of water to perk you up a little.
You'll still look wonderful, though, even if wilting. Okay. And if I drink if I drink more water, I will lose weight. That's a myth?
So that one that actually is kind of a tricky one.
Yeah.
Yes and no, though, right? So if you're properly hydrated already, drinking more water may not make a difference necessarily, but if you're consistently dehydrated, drinking more water could help as your metabolism runs most efficiently when you are properly hydrated. And it can also promote satiety. So like Catherine said, sometimes she'll drink a glass of water or two in the middle of the afternoon just for a little bit of an energy boost. So if you're typically grabbing a snack at that time, and maybe it's a sugary snack for energy, you know, replacing that with a glass of water could definitely promote satiety and help to reduce calorie intake and just kind of take your edge off hunger. And I mean, further, if you're replacing soda or other sugar sweetened beverages with water, you know, then that in itself may cause weight loss just simply because you're replacing those sugary calories and making a better choice for your body.
All right. I know in our first segment that we started at 7:10, and you can hear it at WDKOK.com on our podcast page shortly after this program, we talked about a dozen other points that relate to the importance of hydration, the symptoms, the what can happen, this wilting that we discussed. So all of that can happen. And okay, so let's take things alphabetically in our remaining topics. Mindfulness during a pandemic. Lawrence's worthless definition of mindfulness is just this being cognizant of what you're eating, you're enjoying your time, maybe your mood, and just sort of checking in with yourself. You give us an even better definition, please.
Yeah, so really, I mean, now more than ever is a time to try to protect your mental well-being and try to just nourish yourself and get enough sleep and be gentle with yourself. And this is actually the topic of, you know, being more mindful that we did in episode 19 of the podcast, so the one that came out 2 weeks ago. And just kind of, you know, the way your situation right now is different for everyone. People's routines have been interrupted. We don't know what to expect. You might be feeling stressed or overwhelmed or bored or lonely or frustrated or just like any emotion in the book right now. And all of this disruption in our emotions can lead to a change in our eating habits. So kind of what we did in the podcast and what we want to do is just encourage you to kind of make peace with, you know, all the reasons that you might be eating right now, if it's because you're stressed or you're bored or, and kind of just, but we also want to encourage you to adjust if those things are leading to, you know, food choices that kind of zap your energy or just don't make you feel well. Because really what we want to do is kind of honor our hunger with the foods that make us feel really good and really energized. So we kind of gave some tips, you know, in that podcast to, we focus mostly on boredom eating because, you know, we're at home more and how do we just be more mindful and, you know, if you're asking yourself, am I eating because I'm hungry or am I eating because I'm bored? So kind of some other strategies, and we had all of our dietitians kind of weigh in on what they do at home, you know, if they feel like they're eating because they're bored, and it was drinking tea or going for a walk or putting together a puzzle or, you know, doing some yoga or calling a friend. So kind of some strategies to kind of distract you and to be less bored. And one of the other tips, you know, we put in there was just trying to stick to a normal-ish meal and snack routine, just so you're not skipping meals and becoming overly hungry, you know, so kind of sticking to a normal routine as much as you can these days.
Okay, and this you pulled the dietitians and you found that this eating while bored is a common thing?
Oh, yeah, we actually all had an answer for it, so we kind of all have different strategies and things that work for us, and, you know, just it happened. It happened before, you know, COVID came around, and I think it happens even more now because we're at home more. You know, places aren't open as much to go out to and things like that, so we are just home more.
All right, yeah, and you talked about the different kinds of teas, flavored teas, and some. Of course, you will want a non-caffeinated tea, but they can all help you if you're doing. Well, I mean, non-caffeinated if it's if you're going to be going to bed soon,
evening.
I guess. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right, so that's mindfulness. Any other thoughts about this mindfulness that you're really encouraging folks to try to get a handle on now more than ever, kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, I think just one more thing about that is to not compare yourself to others. It's very easy to do that nowadays, and especially with social media sometimes. We can compare ourselves to others, but you know what we have to remember is usually people post their highlights, you know, on social media, the highlights of their life, and you're not seeing, you know, the other part. So everybody, you know, kind of is struggling right now with just trying to adjust, and just don't compare yourself to others. You know that what you're doing, and you're just doing the best that you can right now.
Yeah, nobody posts, hey, my laundry's piling up and my house is a mess. I feel awful.
Right. People might, but the majority don't.
Right. Well, that's true. There's always someone out there. Okay. So plant-based foods. Now, that comes out in the podcast that is, it's out now in the podcast that just came out.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, we addressed this loosely in one of our earlier episodes, but we really took a deep dive into what plant-based eating looks like, the benefits, and kind of how to apply it to your daily eating habits. And we felt like it was an appropriate time right now, just knowing that the cost of the typical protein you might be purchasing at the grocery store could be going up and or might be hard to find what you would normally buy. So we felt it was a good time to just provide some alternative solutions, you know, with plant-based meals, you know, kind of as an alternative to some of those different types of meat. So just real quick, what does it mean to be plant-based? Now, this might surprise you, Mark. It is not strictly a vegetarian diet, which a lot of people have that misperception. It's just really including more fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, nuts, seeds, and oils into your regular diet with slightly less animal protein. And I think a good way to look at this is if you think of what your plate looks like, and maybe typically that animal protein, that meat, is the center of your plate, you know, consider it on the side or as like a side dish with the grains, the fruits or vegetables, and other plant foods really making up the bulk of the plate. So I think that's a good visual example. Dairy and eggs are also included, and again, this is just a much more flexible kind of alternative to a vegetarian diet in that you might have meat a couple times a week. It just, again, could be as a smaller portion at your meals, and you're including more meatless meals throughout the week as well. So just a couple quick benefits, as you know, that would result from plant-based eating, including lower risk for heart disease, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. You might see improved digestive health and energy levels. You're really eating a lot more plants, which means you're getting more fiber, healthy fats, vitamins and minerals, and beneficial nutrients, and at the same time, then you're reducing the amount of saturated fat in your diet as well as cholesterol, which is, you know, really coming from those animal proteins. And really, a lot of this could benefit you in terms of improved quality of life in the long run as well. So many reasons to kind of make that shift if you can. Now, to actually incorporate some more plant-based foods into your diet, a simple first place to start is really just to look at what you would typically eat and maybe make one of those meals plant-based. So if you would normally eat a turkey, you know, and cheese sandwich for lunch, maybe make it a vegetable-based sandwich for lunch, or do, you know, kind of a grain bowl for lunch. So a grain bowl being cooked grains, lots of vegetables, you know, a sauce on top, something really easy but without, you know, a source of meat. Some other things you could do would be just simply adding fruit to oatmeal, adding vegetables to eggs, using the blend. I don't know if we've ever talked about this here with you, Mark, but the blend is this concept of chopping up mushrooms really, really finely and then blending them into ground meat. So when you're making burgers or tacos or meatballs or meatloaf, this technique can really add a lot of flavor, adds nutrition, and it's an easy way to kind of reduce the amount of meat you're eating while getting that beneficial plant source of nutrients from the mushrooms. So a couple different ways you could incorporate those in there.
All right, so the blend, and you talk about that in greater detail, perhaps, in the podcast. Do you have a recommended podcast carrier? Some people use Podbean, Apple Podcasts. Is there a particular place where you always load this first, the podcast?
Sure. I mean, Google Play and Apple Podcasts are our kind of primary locations. Okay. You can always locate the podcast also on our Wise Dietitians Facebook group. So that's kind of an easy way to get right to that specific episode, but there's a couple different ways you could get it there. So Apple Play, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, I have them switched up there, would be, you know, some great places to locate that. So yeah, we definitely go into much more depth there, and we also do share some really helpful cost comparisons. So maybe a teaser to get you to listen and really just see how much money you can save. Again, if you're watching more of what you're spending right now, just with grocery shopping, you could save money by actually going plant-based too. So definitely give that a listen and find out more.
All right. Well, great information. And incidentally, Beth, mixing up Apple Podcasts and Google Play is a sign of dehydration. So I think you're going to have to check that to see how you're doing.
I might have exceeded my 2 cups of coffee this morning. Can you tell?
Oh, that's the other way. Okay. That's the other side. Okay. Well, when in our next meeting, and it doesn't even have to be a month from now, but we certainly will meet a month from now, we are going to have to talk about more about these virtual mini sessions, the healthy telehealth that you are involved in. Some of it is free, and there's an opportunity to pay and get much more, but we'll have to defer that for a future segment. But suffice to say, there is telehealth segments available. Go to wisemarkets.com or email your registered dietitians at wisedietitians@wisemarkets.com. Beth and Catherine, thank you both so much for checking in today.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
I do appreciate that. Wise Markets registered dietitians, Catherine Long and Beth Stark.